Welcome to One Girl in All the World, the Buffy the Vampire Slayer rewatch podcast, where we recap each episode in order and discuss. I'm Ashley, Buffy superfan.
Kimmy, Buffy newbie.
You can find us on all major podcast apps, YouTube, and Instagram with new episodes on Tuesdays.
For those of you that are listening and not watching, you missed some jazz fingers by Ashley. Pointy jazz fingers.
Is that what it is? Jazz
fingers? I don't know. I made that up. Pointy jazz fingers.
Yeah, I wasn't doing jazz hands.
No,
jazz like, fingers. Hey, man. Yeah, you know, like finger guns. It was
finger guns,
like
that. That's what it was.
But it wasn't exactly, but like that's probably the closest description we can have. Is okay, so today we are talking about Amends, episode 10.
Yes.
So, do you know what's special about the next episode? Episode 11?
No, but I know that it's called, wait, hold on. I know that it's called Gingerbread.
Yeah.
Gingerbread.
Well, we'll be halfway through the season next week.
Oh, okay, cool.
Because there's 22 episodes, so.
That's exciting.
Yeah, so we're almost in the middle of it. Okay, so, but Amends originally aired December 15th, 1998, written and directed by Joss Whedon. So, you know, there's probably an important one. And the synopsis is, as Buffy and her friends make plans for a quiet Christmas vacation, Angel is haunted by visions of his violent, demonic past, including the ghost of Jenny Calendar. Meanwhile, Willow goes to great seductive lengths to try to convince Oz that he is the one for her. Xander painfully adjusts to his life without Cordelia. I don't know if I really feel that last one, but okay.
Yeah,
He's more awkward about it.
Yeah. But. I mean, this wasn't my favorite episode, I'm not going to lie.
You hated it?
I didn't hate it. I didn't particularly like it.
Okay. Okay, so it definitely is based loosely on Christmas Carol, which you probably picked
up. Yeah, I mean, Ghosts of Christmas Past.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, so we start with a big previously on, because this is an Angel-centric episode. So we have a big previously on of everything that happened with Buffy and Angel up until this point. And then we have a lot of, like, backstory and flashbacks of Angel in this episode. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of...
Yeah, I mean, I'll say it was interesting to learn more about his past because we've only had snippets, really, so far. So, that was something. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we start out in Dublin, 1838. And a guy is kind of running through the street looking over his shoulder. Like, he's obviously running from something or someone. And there's carolers.
Carolers.
And you can tell that it's Christmas time.
Yeah.
So he runs into an alley and Angel, like in his vamp face, like
grabs him.
Yeah. Approaches him. He said, we find out his name is Daniel
and he owes Angel debt.
Yeah. From, I think, losing like gambling, like playing cards. And he's like, you know, if you're not great at cards and you have no money, you should not be gambling, which is like good advice in Jealous, actually. Mm-hmm. Like either you had to be good at it or you need to have money when you lose. And Daniel didn't have either, apparently. So he says he's going to take, you know, get his pay another way. Like he's going to get what's owed to him.
He's hungry.
He bites him. So he basically is like, okay, if you give me your life as a meal. Like, he
pay the debt.
Yeah, he pays. Daniel pays the debt and Angel kills him. And so Angel wakes up from a dream. I say dream, but it's really a memory.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah.
But he's dreaming of the memory. Mm-hmm. And he kind of like goes on a walk. He's like obviously agitated, can't sleep. So he goes on a walk on like the main street there. Maple Court, I think is what it's called. And he runs into Buffy. He was Christmas shopping. Mm-hmm. And the biggest travesty of this whole show is Buffy's bangs in this episode.
I will agree with you on that one.
Like, Sarah Geller has been asked.
Good hair day.
They like, when interviews, they'll be like, what was going on here? And they'll just put a picture of her with those bangs. And she's like, I don't know.
I'm sure she styled them herself.
Horrendous. Horrendous. Like, they're so short.
They're really weird and, like, weirdly shaped, styled, steeped, swept.
Oh, they're awful. So that was the first thing that I noticed about this whole episode. Yeah, Buffy's horrible bangs. But she runs into Angel, or Angel runs into her. She's Christmas shopping for the gang.
Yeah.
And it's a bit awkward because remember, Buffy and Angel are not seeing each other anymore. Like they're not even like visiting.
They're like, they're not on the best of terms right now.
Yeah.
They're trying not to be friends.
They're keeping their distance. And she kind of makes awkward small talk about vampires and Christmas
shopping, and he's like, it's not really, vampires aren't really big on Christmas.
So it's just kind of awkward, and he looks over Buffy's shoulder and sees Daniel in Sunnydale mm-hmm. in his like old garb and is discombobulated, obviously. And then we go to the credits. Mm-hmm. So we come back to school in the hallway and Buffy is telling Willow and Xander about how Angel just kind of bailed. He seemed weird. Started acting weird and then bailed. Yep. And, you know, Buffy's like, it's, you know, it's hard to like try to move on and not see him when he just is there. Like she just ran into him on the street. Mm-hmm. And so she's kind of talking about how that is, you know, trying. And then they just start talking about the Christmas break, like what their plans are. Buffy says that they're just, she just has a plan to have roast beast, which is from The Grinch, the Stole Christmas. Oh yeah,
that's right.
They have is a roast beast, a roast beast.
Right.
We knew this before, but Willow yes. reminds us that she is Jewish.
Not everybody worships Santa.
Not everybody worships Santa.
I like that. I thought that was funny.
Yeah. So Willow is like, I got nothing planned. Like they really have a boring, you know, break planned. And they run into Cordelia at the like student little lounge area. And she's talking to somebody and they kind of ignore her, but they're in the area because they can overhear her or she can overhear them. And Xander talks about he's going to do his annual Christmas Eve, like camp
sleeping
out.
Outside.
Yeah. He like camps out, sleeps outside to be close to nature. And Cordelia says, oh, really? I thought you just did that to get away from your family's drunken fights.
That's so sad.
Yeah. We've had hints that like Xander doesn't have the best home life. And like, this is like the first, like very clear sign.
Nothing like an ex to bring out something that was told in confidence.
Which he says. Yeah. Which he says. I didn't think that was a confidence you would share with everyone.
Yeah.
That she's on her revenge kick for sure. Yep. So she's going to Aspen with real snow.
Gonna go sorry. Snow
sorry. Skiing. Sorry. Snow. Sorry for you guys that are stuck in Sweaty Dale. Because apparently there's like it's like super hot for the holidays. It's going to be super, super hot.
Sounds great. I want to go live in Sunnydale.
Yeah, no, like why are they complaining? Stop it. they kind of give like Cordelia some slack because of, you know, obviously what they've done to her.
Yeah, that's a shitty thing that happened. So
and Willow says, like, you know what, I'm forgiveness is the theme for the season. Like I am very much in a forgiving spirit. And
which is good because she was forgiven, apparently.
Yeah, so Oz comes over and wants to talk to her. So then we go to a classroom. So they're sitting in a classroom alone and Oz basically says that he wants to try again with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was a pretty cool moment because like you can see that he obviously he's hurt by what she did and he, you know, it's going to be hard to trust after something like that. But, you know, he really does want to, he cares for her and he wants to try.
Yeah, it's so sweet. He was like, oh, I miss you like crazy. Like every second. It's so cute.
That is really cute.
I love Oz.
What did he say? It's like, I lost an arm or worse, a torso.
Yeah. And you know what? He would have been 150% justified. He was like, look.
This isn't going to work.
We just can't come back from this. Nope. And I would have been like, yeah, go. Yeah.
Well, like Cordelia is doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, he would have been totally justified in like, no, we're not getting back together. But yeah, it was sweet that they were able to patch things up for now. We'll see. Like they're going to try. So we go to the Christmas tree lot and Joyce and Buffy are looking for a tree. And Joyce suggests that they invite Faith over for Christmas Eve. Mm-hmm. And still, this seems that the relationship hasn't improved between Buffy and Faith because she's like, oh, Faith and I don't really talk face to face. We don't really like talk or hang out. And
Joyce we haven't seen her.
Yeah. And Joyce is very much like, oh, yeah, we should invite her because like she just is in a hotel room by herself.
Well, yeah, she doesn't have family. She doesn't have a watcher.
And Buffy says, well, what about Giles? He doesn't have any family. We should invite him too. And Joyce immediately shuts that down.
She's like, it's fine. He's fine.
Yeah, he's fine. He doesn't want to spend Christmas with a bunch of girls. Why are you being so awkward, Joyce? What's the problem with having your daughter's watcher over for Christmas? Might be awkward to see him for some reason. So she shuts that down super quick. So they split up and Buffy, they're looking for the perfect tree. And Buffy sees kind of a ring, like a circle of dead trees.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
And the guy that works at the lot says that they just up and died all of a sudden them. And he said he'd give you a deal if you want one.
Discount crappy tree.
She's like, no thanks. And then we kind of like go, somewhere, we'll say. Yeah. And we see like candles, guys with like their eyes cut out, like with a symbol over their eyes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't really get with that.
And there's kind of like, it's a very dreamy, because it is a dream sequence. So it's like very like vague and like sweeping, and like we don't get a good look at everything. Mm-hmm. And Angel wakes up. So obviously Angel kind of had this
dreaming
like,
about this dream. These weird, creepy people.
Yeah. So we go to Faith's room. Buffy comes over and does invite Faith to her house on Christmas Eve.
I love how Faith is like, well, I might have this thing. This is like this party thing. So I might have this better thing to do than your thing. But thanks.
I already have plans. And I like how like Faith is like, oh, your mom sent you over, didn't she? And she's like, no.
She can see right through it.
Yeah, no. So Faith says, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. I'm going to go to this crazy party. And Buffy's like, okay, well, if you change your mind, you can come over. At Giles is cooking, and he's a knock at the door. And he walks over, and guess who it is? It's Angel. The Gaul.
Angel. Giles actually laughs.
Because Angel says, oh, I'm sorry to bother you. And he's like, you're sorry to bother me.
The fuck you say.
Yeah, exactly. So he just says, like, he wants Giles to, like, help him listen.
He's like, yes, he needs help. And Giles is like, and the funny keeps coming.
Yeah.
That actually made me laugh out loud. I was like, oh my God, that's it. Giles' character is coming out a bit more, and I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, he is letting Angel have it. So he, like, walks away, and Angel's like, oh, he forgot to invite me in. That's what Angel is thinking.
Definitely did not forget.
And he's like, oh, you have to invite me in. And he's like, oh, I know. Like, Giles wouldn't know that. And he comes out with a crossbow. Like, you come in, but I'm going to dust your ass if you try anything. Or even look at me the wrong way. So he comes in, and he starts telling him, like, he wants to know why he's back. He's like, I should be, like, spending eternal torment, but I'm not. I'm here, and I don't know why. Mm-hmm. And, Giles like, will that give you peace? And he's just like, yeah. And he's like, what makes you think you deserve it anyway? Like, why would I want you to have peace? Mm-hmm. So they're kind of just starting this conversation when Angel sees Jenny behind Giles.
Which is creepy.
Yeah, she's kind of just like looking at Giles. She's going around, like kind of almost like touching his shoulder and stuff. And Angel's like, don't you see her? And Giles is looking around like, no.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? And Angel just freaks out and runs away. At the mansion, Angel is dreaming of another memory.
Yeah, he's at, like, some fancy party.
Yeah, like, a fancy party, and he's kind of cornered this maid or servant. Mm-hmm. And he basically is going to kill her.
Well, he's terrible to her. He threatens her. He's like, because she's like, I don't want to go with you. And he's like, well, you have to. Like, I'm going to make a scene if you don't. Threatens her about her kid. Like, he's just relentless. He's so terrible.
Yeah, she's like, please, I have a kid.
Yeah, like, I know we knew this about him, but geez, just watching it is just, ugh,
yeah, gross. He's a poo head.
He's a poo head.
So she's like, oh, yeah, like, please, like my son. And he's like, oh, he'll make a good dessert. And then kills her.
Yep, so that's the last thing she hears.
Yeah, so we assume he goes off and kills her kid, too. Hopefully he didn't, but we don't know. We never find out. So he
Well, before he wakes up, though, he sees Buffy in the dream.
Yes, yes.
So weird. And then Buffy wakes up. And then we kind of realize, like, wait, she saw that the dream. Like, so they're, wait, what's going on with this dream thing?
Yeah,
like, she was there. They saw each other. What's going on?
It's a mind meld. Yeah. He looked over at the party, and Buffy's just standing there on the party like, what? Like, not knowing what's happening.
Yeah, that's so weird.
Yeah, so that was interesting that they both, like, were sharing a dream. Angel gets up and is kind of like pacing. It's like starting to get to him a little bit more.
Well, yeah, he's starting to feel like he's stressed. Going crazy. Mm-hmm. A little bit. Yeah.
And Jenny is there again and starts talking to him this time. And he's like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And she says, you know what? It's feel sorry for me. She feels sorry for you. Like, you know, you're kind of, she doesn't say this, but basically saying, like, you're kind of neutered now. Like, your true self is basically Angelus, and you, like, you shouldn't be fighting that. And then she also, through this kind of speech, just turns into Daniel as well. So Angel sees Daniel again. We go to the library, and Buffy tells Giles about the dream and kind of justifies helping him by saying, you know, I can't move on if we're, like, doing cameos in each other's dreams, which I get.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, and Giles does, like, say, oh, yeah, I saw him. He came over.
Yeah, I think there's something wrong with him.
Yeah, so they're going to help him, and weirdly, Xander says, yeah, I'm going to help too. Like, all of a sudden, Xander, he says it's the Christmas spirit or something, or the Hanukkah spirit. And he's going to help the group. So eventually Willow joins and they're all like looking through books and everything. And Willow and Buffy have this little nice conversation where Willow tells Buffy that her and Oz got back together and it fills her in and that he's going to come over on Christmas Eve and watch videos. Very 90s term. And, you know, she's saying it's like awkward and they're very uncomfortable still around each other. And Buffy says, you just have to like prove to him that he comes first. I think Willow took this a little too on the
She didn't nose. Quite understand what Buffy was saying. Buffy didn't quite mean what Willow thought, but that's
okay. Yeah. She's like, okay, all right, I gotta stop by Bed Bath & Beyond and get some candles.
Maybe a little Victoria's Secret.
Yeah. For her, it's like, she's like, I'm going to Kmart. In the adult section. I'm not even going to the tween section. That's Willow's big, like, coming of age moment. At the mansion, we see this guy that we've never seen before. He's, like, in a suit. And he is recalling to Angel how he had found his family, that Angel obviously had murdered, like, later down his timeline. Because he looks very, he's modern. He's in a modern, but, it, you know, I just thought of something.
What?
He must have killed him. He must have killed the kids, just his recent Angelus episode. Because Angel was turned way before people were dressing like that. It was over 100 years ago. I mean, not turned. I'm sorry. Angel was ensouled over 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it couldn't have been like that. Everybody else is dressed like within their time.
Yeah, like the 18 whatevers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So people weren't dressing like this guy when Angel was Angelus the first time.
Mm, I don't think I noticed that.
It just dawned on me. He's like wearing just a regular business suit. So I'm guessing that he had to have committed these crimes after he lost his soul to Buffy. From Buffy.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. You'd have to.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this guy in a suit, like a business suit, saying that he went to kiss his kids, like, goodnight when he came home and he realized they were cold. And so Angel not only killed his family, but laid them out so it wouldn't be obvious.
Oh, my God, discover. Does that? That's so messed up.
Yeah, like the meticulous like setting up of the scene.
And like he says, like basically he took pleasure in it.
Yeah. And so then he says, like, that's what he was thinking. Like, who would go to so much trouble to like set this up like this when Angel grabbed him, the guy? Which is really messed up. That's like Angelus is like just another level. That's why like the judge couldn't burn him or anything. Like any other vampire he could really burn because they still have some humanity left in them. But like Angelus doesn't.
No.
And these stories all like definitely support that.
Well, I mean, this guy was like telling Angel that he's different than other beasts because other beasts kill to feed. But what Angel does, like, or Angelus, he takes pleasure in it. Mm-hmm. And then Angel even tries to say like it wasn't him, it was a demon. And he like, I mean.
Yeah, she says, he's like, oh, yeah, it wasn't me. It was demon. She's like, oh, like you were like a great person. And it shows him like drunkenly grabbing at a girl, dancing on a table and then falling off the chair. Like back in when he was human.
He was a terrible disappointment to his parents.
Yeah. And
he was worthless before. And now he's just a monster. Cruelty is the only thing he had a true talent for. That's sad.
Yeah. So at first Angel's like, hey, that wasn't me. Like that was the demon. Like I'm not that anymore. And then they kind of like start, because this goes from Jenny, that guy, the maid, Daniel. It goes through all these. Daniel says, you know, I was the week you killed me, I was going to be married. And you knew that.
Yeah,
he had like told him he was going to be married. Terrible. So they're kind of revolving through these ghosts of Angel's past.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of convincing him that, you know, it's not just you being a vampire. You're just a bad person.
Yep.
You were before you were a vampire. You were even worse as a vampire. But just because you have a soul doesn't mean you're a good person.
Yep.
And they're trying to drive that point home to him.
Yeah.
So Angel's starting to, like, get really, like, it's starting to really get to him. He's, like, grabbing his hair. He's, like, looking very, like, distressed.
Well, it looks like he's in pain.
Yeah. And yeah. Basically, they're saying, Jenny's saying, like, it's his destiny to be bad. Like, Angelus is, like, basically, like, his real destiny.
Yeah. Yeah, like, his Angel says it's, like, a curse. And then, she says it's not a true destiny.
Yeah. In the library, everyone is sleeping. And Buffy and Angel have a sex dream.
Yeah, this was a weird scene.
Okay. Where he ends up biting her.
Yep.
At the end of it. and they both like wake up. And Jenny, so on Angel's side of it, Jenny encourages him. So we get like kind of mixed messages about what they want. I feel like mixed messages about what they're trying to encourage him to do.
Oh, and sometimes tell him to bite her.
Yeah. I've got, like, sometimes I get that. And then sometimes I get like, lose your soul with her. Like, just have sex with her. Yeah. Because it's like, to take her, this is why he brought you back, so you can kill her. And like, they never say it completely one way or the other. Like, it's so weird. Like, they kind of go back and forth, like, in the verbiage they use. That it's either, like, she's like, so you can kill her. Like, you need to take her so you can kill her. Well, he's not going to kill her if doesn't have a soul. I mean, if he has a soul. So it's like, not really clear what they are actually instructing him to do.
You're right. Yeah, you're right. I wrote that too, right? They brought him back. Yeah. Like, bite her, but then they brought him back to take her and then to get ready to kill her, basically. Yeah. So it's not super clear.
Yeah. It's like, bounce back and forth between, like, have sex with her and bite her and kill her. In the library, Buffy comes down. She's like, oh, I had another dream, and I, like, saw these guys that you're showing me on a paper. Like, it's the people with the, like,
the creepy eye people.
Cut eyes, because they showed up in the dream as well. And so Buffy had seen them. And Giles is like, what happened in the dream? You had another dream? She's like, let's not get distracted. I'm not going to tell you about my sex dream with Angel. So she scoots right by that, because that would have been awkward. And basically says that, he says, well, they were in my dream. And he says, these are the these are called bringers, the bringers.
Yeah.
And they are high priests of the first evil.
They're known as the first demon.
The first evil is what it is.
Interesting.
And the bringers are their high priests, and they can help, like, the first haunt people. So that they kind of put together that this was happening to Angel, that the first is bringing all this up to haunt him. For what purpose? We don't know.
No, I know. We don't know. That's the thing.
So they're like, okay, we just have to find these bringers and stop them, and then that should be it. But they have no idea where to find them. So that takes them to Willie's, our favorite neighbor-friendly neighborhood bartender of mostly the undead and demons. And Willie said, he's like, I don't have to beat me up. Like, I'm just going to tell you what you need to know. He says there's been some talk, and that the only information he has is that he thinks they're underground.
Yep.
That's it. So it doesn't get them very far, but it is cute how he's like, hey, Merry Christmas, kid. I like Willie.
Yeah, he's cute.
He's just a lovable rogue.
Yep.
So they go outside, and Buffy's kind of like disheartened by it. And Xander tries to comfort her, like, we'll figure it out. Like, you know, we got something to go on, but Buffy doesn't.
She's not feeling confident.
She's not feeling confident, especially when the stakes, like, are Angel. Like, the stakes are too high for, like, where she's at, she feels like. Mm-hmm. So we go to Willow's.
They have videos.
Yeah. Oz shows up with the videos, and he walks into a surprising scene.
The candles are all lit.
The fire is on. The candle is lit. Was it Barry Manilow?
Dress?
Barry Manilow's playing.
Oh, yeah, Barry Manilow. Red
dress. I mean, oh, God, I cringe so bad. Like,
I love Barry Manilow. My sister is named after a Barry Manilow song.
Oh my God. But if you were trying to set, okay, that's fine liking Barry Manilow. But if you were trying to set a romantic mood, would you put Barry Manilow on?
I don't know. It depends on the mood. Maybe.
The mood that Willow's going for.
Probably not.
Yeah. Like, I just think actually using it for, like, background music for seducing is a bit cringe. You know what I mean? If you're just listening to it in the car, like, sure, go for it. Like, it's, you know what I mean? But I just, no, Willow, no. She's like, the person at Kmart told me this was the perfect CD for seducing people. Barry Manilow's greatest hits. It's like, when I picked my underwear up, I also decided to go swing by the CD section.
I love how she's like, she's trying to talk to him, and she's like, he's kind of starting to get an idea of what she wants. And she said if she wanted to be special, she's ready. We could do that thing.
That thing. Never wants to say
that. You can't say the thing. You are not ready to do the thing.
Exactly. You can't even say the word.
No.
Like, maybe you
you're not emotionally ready for this.
And like, she's doing it for all the wrong reasons.
She
like,
is. She's just trying to
cares about him.
Obviously. She's just trying to make up with him. And I was just like, no, you need to build your trust back up, get in a good place. And then when you're emotionally mature and ready, then you can talk about it.
And
then,
of course, Oz sees right through all this always because he's so
mature. I love Oz.
So mature. He's like, no, I don't think we should do this. Like, yes. And he lets her down very gently.
He does.
And says that, you know, when they both wanted, when they do it, they should both want to do it for the same reasons, not because you feel like you have to, you're trying to prove something.
Prove something, exactly. And I love how he, like, he does admit that this wasn't, this wouldn't be his first, but like with her, it's different. I love that.
Yeah.
I think it's really sweet. He's like, it's different with you. And like, I just, we don't have to rush into things.
He's in love with her.
Yes. You know exactly. That.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, very, Oz is just like top notch dude in this show.
He really is. Yeah. He is.
Yeah. Yeah, they just kind of were like, we're just going to make out then. All right, fine. So at Buffy's, their Faith, it's weird that Faith and, I'm sorry. So at Buffy, Joyce and Buffy are like finishing the tree on Christmas Eve?
Yeah.
I'm like.
I mean, not everybody's like you that likes to set it up December 1st.
December 1st? I do it like around Thanksgiving.
Oh my God. Okay.
Why even bother if you're finishing decorating the Christmas on New Year, on Christmas Eve, the tree on Christmas Eve? Like, why even bother?
You're hilarious. Okay. I don't know. Yes, they're too late to the game.
Yeah, I'm like, you guys are just finished decorating the tree and it's Christmas Eve. Like, the party has started already on Christmas Eve. Like, the Christmas train is left at the station already. Like, it's already in motion. Why are you finishing the tree?
The part that I thought was hilarious is that they have a fire going and then it's hot and they're like, maybe we should turn the AC on. Are you kidding me right now?
Joyce is like, we need the ambience of the fire. It doesn't matter if it's 104 degrees outside. Oh, like, it's Christmas Eve. Yeah, so they're working on their very odd Christmas traditions. And someone knocks on the door. It's Faith. She's like, you know what? I just didn't go to the party. I just didn't.
Well, she said, no, she said it was a drag. The party was a drag.
Yeah, it's a drag. And then she was like, I didn't really have any. Did she was trying to say, like, I didn't really have anything at all? Yeah. Or I didn't have anything else? Like, was she admitting to it? But Buffy knows what's up.
Yeah.
Buffy's like, oh, I'm glad you came. Like, come in. And it's cute that Faith bought them little presents.
Yeah, that was cute.
She did bring something, which was, like, so sweet. And Buffy says, oh, I'm going to go get your guys' presents. So she runs up the stairs and comes into her room. And Angel's behind the door waiting for her.
Yep.
And, like, startles her. He kind of, like, comes at her and he's, like, we see from his POV, he's, like, looking at her, like, throat and everything. And she's trying to talk to him and he's kind of, like, distracted and he's not really hearing. He's like, you need to stay away from me. She's like, what? You came here? And then Jenny's in the background, like, basically telling him, like, tempting him to, like, go ahead
taste and taste her.
Taste her. So now I'm thinking it's, like, a biting thing. Before, I was thinking it was, like, not. It was, like, losing his soul. Now it's definitely leaning towards biting her, attacking her. Mm-hmm. And so he's getting a little bit sucked into, like, the monologue. And he's, like, looking at her, like, throat. And he's trying to fight it. And Buffy tries to explain to him, like, that it's the first. So they're just haunting him. And then he just basically.
To fight it.
And then he just, like, get away from me. And he jumps out the window again. That's, like, the only way Angel can leave this house is through a window. So he jumps out the window, down the roof and off he goes. So Buffy is like, okay, I have to go talk to Giles. Faith is going to stay there with her mom and watch, make sure in case Angel comes back. But Buffy goes to Giles's.
Yeah. And she admits to him that she's scared they're losing him.
Yeah. That he's just going beyond.
Like, yeah, and he warns her that they may have to kill him again, or she might have to kill him again.
Yeah, right away he's like, you know, if this isn't like improving, he becomes a danger to someone. You're gonna have to kill him again.
Yep, that sucks.
Yeah. So at the mansion, Angel is still Jenny is still talking to Angel.
She's emotionally torturing him.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Into killing Buffy.
Yeah. He's like, he'll never hurt her.
Yeah. This is why we brought you back, like to kill her. And he says, then I'll die. Like, I won't hurt her. I'll die. And, you know, he's like, I just have to have the sunrise. Like, that's all I need. Like, I don't have to have any more strength than that. I just have to need the sunrise. And then I'll take myself out of the equation because I'm not going to do that.
And then she says, you're not supposed to die. This isn't the plan, but it'll do.
Yeah. Like, this isn't my first choice, but it's fine.
I know there's still more to go in the episode, but like, even towards the end of the episode, I still don't really get this.
I'll give you a little breadcrumb.
Okay.
So when Joss wrote this, I don't know if he had his farsight to the rest of the series or not, or if he came back and picked this idea up, but the first in all of that is way more fully fledged out later in the series.
Okay, so this comes back then, these weird creepy dudes. Okay,
like the idea of the first evil and what that is, and it's not the last time we hear about it.
Okay,
and it's much more fully
because it just feels like it just feels a little like thrown together, like disorganized. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Anyway, okay.
So I didn't think maybe they were like, "Ooh, that was a good idea, and we didn't really do it justice. Let's like explore that." Mm-hmm. So there will be more information on this.
Okay.
Because it is like it is a bit like is confusing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm even saying that like watching it from knowing the rest of the series, obviously.
Yeah.
So yeah, as a first time watcher, I'd be like, "What's going? What is this? Like, what's going on?"
It just seems so weird and out of place.
Yeah. So at Giles's, I think they're at Giles. They're doing some more research.
Yeah.
And Giles finds a book that says nothing about the bringers, and nothing shall grow above or below.
And ding, ding, ding. Buffy's like, oh, the weird
that rings Christmas a bell. Trees. That rings a bell. And Buffy says that, like, she's reading a book, and it's like just like a riddle. And she says it's like reading the sun, which was that tabloid that's not around anymore. Oh. I don't know if you guys had that in Canada.
No.
But yeah, it was just like a really bad tabloid. And then there's another reference here that Giles says they're rebels and they'll never ever be any good, which is a like play on the Crystal songs. He's a rebel.
Okay.
So Giles kind of like changed the lyrics of that song. So Buffy's like, yeah, the Christmas tree lot. So we go to the Christmas tree lot. Buffy breaks in, finds that ring of like dead trees.
She goes to dig it.
Yeah. She like takes an axe to it, just like hacks the ground. Mm-hmm. And jumps down in this hole. So definitely could be down there.
She has no fear.
No, she doesn't even like look
she's
in
like
there.
She's like diving in. I'm just like, oh my God, that's like my worst nightmare. No way.
She just hops into that dark hole.
I would make
hole.
The worst slayer ever.
I would at least like maybe stick my head in there and see what's going on first. She just jumps in with an axe like, well, I don't care. Yeah. She gets down there. She sees like some candles. It's like very dark, but there's candles.
She can hear chanting.
And she sees the bringers around, like, there's some bones, like something. They're doing something, like doing a little ritual or something.
Well, she sees them. She's like, all right, 10 more minutes of chanting, and then you guys have to go to bed. That made me laugh so hard.
Yeah, that's a great, great quip. So she basically fights them and defeats them pretty handily, pretty quick. Like, they're not really fighters. Like,
I mean, and that's the thing, too, for the first demon, like, they kind of aren't great. So
well, they are. They aren't. They're just like minions of the first.
Oh, okay.
They're like worshippers, and they like help facilitate.
They're the helpers. Okay. Okay. Got it.
So, they're not really fighters. So they get handled very quickly.
So they're the like, but they're like the conduit for the ones that were helping haunt Angel.
Yeah, they were like facilitating that. Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of happening.
Okay.
Kind of like making the first like more like capable, I guess. So yeah, she pretty much gets them right away, and then Jenny confronts her.
Yeah.
The first in Jenny's form confront
okay.
Buffy.
And so here's my question to you as the Buffy what's that word? Like where you're like a knowledge on something.
Expert?
Yep, that's right. The Buffy expert. Thank you.
Call myself an expert, but I think that's the word you're looking for.
Yes, the Buffy expert. Okay, so is this like for real Jenny's spirit, or is it just something that they conjured to?
No.
Like,
it's basically just wearing her face.
Okay, yes.
It's just using her image.
Yep, that's what I wanted to know.
That's
what I thought.
The only reason it like picks certain people is because there is like a little detail that comes to light later about the first, but I'm not even gonna say it anyway.
Okay. But it's not Jenny's.
But you
spirit.
Would only use somebody. No, it's not. Okay. They would only use someone to like emotionally manipulate you.
Mm-hmm.
And out of those people, they just decided to. The first was like, oh, Jenny, because I think Buffy still holds a lot of guilt about Jenny's.
I'm sure she does.
Murder.
Yeah.
So that's what she kind of
Angel does.
Her. Yeah. So Jenny starts talking about how she's the first. And the first evil, like, you don't even comprehend, like, it's before demons, before everything, like, literally.
Before evil, before sin, before death.
The first evil, so, like.
The thing darkness fears.
Yeah. And Buffy's just like, okay, yeah, great. Like, that's fine. Like, can we just like stop chit-chatting?
Well, Buffy's like, all right, I get it. You're evil. Do we have to chat about it all day?
Yeah. And she says Angel will be dead by sunrise. Jenny tells Buffy that. Yep. And then the first kind of like drops its like mask and kind of like whoosh out of the area, but like looks like just like a crazy monster demon thing. Like the face of it, like the true face of the first. We see it for a minute. And Buffy's like, oh, she looks a little bit shocked.
Oh, I must have missed that. I bet you I was furiously writing in my notebook when that happened because I totally missed that.
Okay. Yeah, it's just kind of like she just like, and it like turns into this like porn demon thing. And then
interesting. Okay.
And then when it's like going away, it's like dead by sunrise.
This horrible, I heard that. Horrible voice. Like something from a horror movie, like a cheesy horror movie. Yeah.
Like it was like so weird. And so Buffy like takes off because she has to find Angel. Okay, so somehow Buffy pretty much immediately finds Angel, or maybe she's been looking for him for hours. Yeah, she finds him on like a lookout over the city, like a bluff over the city. And he's just standing there waiting for the sun to rise, so it will kill him. And of course, Buffy immediately tries to get him out of there. She's like, the sunrise is coming. Like, it's not gonna, you only have a few minutes left. And he's like, I can smell the sunrise before it happens. So he knows like how close he's cutting it, basically. He kind of justifies to Buffy the reason he wants to die is because it's like, it's not the demon that needs to be killed in him. It's the man, which is kind of what the first was trying to convince him of that he was. And he wants to die because the first told him to do this. The first told him to do that, to like bite you, like lose my soul in you, like lose my soul, like have sex with her, bite her, whatever, knowing what it would cost him or what would happen. Mm-hmm. And he's saying because he was tempted to do it. He needs to die.
Yep.
Like, he wasn't strong enough to be like, absolutely not. Like, eventually it was starting to get to him where he was tempted.
He thinks he's weak.
Yeah, like, yes, in Buffy's room, he was, like, tempted. That's why he went there.
And he thinks because of that, that part of him doesn't care, which I don't agree with.
Mm-hmm.
But he's just, I don't know, he's now on this, like, self-deprecating kick, so.
Yeah, I think he just feels like it didn't take that much for him to, like, consider the possibility, or like even like go there in his head.
I mean, I feel like that's not actually true. Like, if this demon was like on him,
I mean, maybe he's thinking that. He's just thinking like, oh, I just don't have the, you know, he's convinced that he's just too weak to like to deal with it. So he just needs to kill himself so he doesn't put her in any danger. It gets pretty heated.
Yes.
He's trying to get him to go, and they end up punching each other in the face.
Yeah, they start fighting,
and he punches her down to the ground. And he's like, nobody will miss me. And she's like, well, what about me? I love you. I wish I had wished you dead, but I couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you don't know the things I've done. She's like, you did them all to me. Because he was like stalking her and everything.
Yep.
And she just keeps trying to tell him that she can't just let him die because she loves him.
No, and she says, if you're too much of a coward, then burn.
Yeah, she gets like pretty then. She's like, fine.
Yeah.
Do what you want. But she also says, like, you know, you can do good in this world. Like, if first evil brought you back, that means that you can, for their purposes, that means that you can hurt it. You can, like, do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not helpless in it. And the reason it brought you back. And so she's about to, like, leave. And she's about to just, like, give up on the situation, honestly, when it starts to snow.
Yeah, which is weird.
Yeah, and I want to know why, if it was so hot in this whole episode, why everyone's wearing long sleeve shirts and jackets.
Okay, I mean, I'll say, like, so my dude, he's like that. It can be like, I don't know, but I'll be wearing a tank top and he'll be wearing long sleeves, and I'm like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, but is he cold, or is he sweltering? Is he saying I'm so hot?
No,
I'm so hot.
Oh no, he's not hot.
That's so what I mean.
Are all these people cold? Maybe.
Well, but they all say, oh, it's so hot, it's so hot, it's so hot, I mean, and then they have like long sleeves. Hot. Yeah, but they are saying they are hot, but they are wearing like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, okay. They're being silly.
It's like Xander and Buffy when they come out of Willy's. They're like, it's so hot. And they're both wearing long sleeve shirts.
I don't think I caught that.
That's like, why is everyone saying it's so hot? And but then they are wearing like not like t-shirts and like stuff.
They were preparing for this snow moment.
Yeah, I guess so. Buffy runs out of their mom's house with a coat. You know, I'm just like, please. Anyway. Yeah, so it's snowing. Oh, my God. It's a miracle.
Yep.
It's a miracle. So there's like this whole little montage where everyone's like, oh my God, it's snowing.
Snow. Christmas miracle.
Yeah.
And
so
they hear on the radio that there's going to be no sun at all.
Well, actually, Buffy and, okay, so Willow and Oz are laying on her bed and fully clothed, everyone. And they like go to the window. They're like, oh my God. You know, Faith and Joyce come out of the front door to the front. And they're like, oh my God. And like Giles goes to the window. And says, oh my God.
Xander's sleeping inside this little sleeping bag.
And he covers, he's like, just covers his head. Then he's like, wait, what's happening? Sees the snow and goes, oh my God. And everyone just can't believe it. So Angel and Buffy are walking hand in hand down the like main street. It's just completely, even though it only started snowing like,
yeah, there's like
10 minutes ago. Snow. It's like 15 inches of snow. And they walk by like a shop window where there's like a weather man doing the forecast. And he's like, oh my gosh, like first snow in Sunnydale ever. Like all of a sudden, only around Sunnydale. But like cold front, like don't expect to see the sun. Because like, when it like literally snows, you like there's literally night all day. That does not happen. Yeah. Doesn't happen. It's like gloomy and dark and like, you know, cloudy, but the sun still rises when it snows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was silly. But the guy that's saying that, the newscaster, is an actual weatherman in LA.
Yeah. Okay.
Named Mark Krisky. Yeah, so he made a little cameo. He's like a local LA weatherman. I thought that was cute.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I was on Buffy probably. Like my kids, like I was on Buffy. I just was weatherman. I'm sure that was very thrilling for him. Yeah, I just thought it was like, okay, so there's literally pitch black all day long? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they just walked on the street, and I guess Angel's fine now. His suicide attempt has been thwarted, and now they're just going to go for a stroll holding hands.
And this is why I didn't particularly like this episode. First of all, it was like totally disorganized and all that. But then at the end, they just they end up fighting, and she's just all like, but if you're too much of a coward, then burn. And then if she can't convince him to stay in this world, then she doesn't know what can. And then it just starts snowing, and then that's it. That's the end of it. Like, we don't know what happened. Like,
he could just go throw himself on a twig. You know what I mean? The sun's not the only way to do it. Like, he could make it happen. But I guess he gives up.
Yeah, but, yeah, okay. So then there's no resolution. There's no...
I feel like probably what they're going for is that because of it was so isolated and it snowed and there was, like, a freak weather thing, that it was... a higher power that was saved Angel.
I mean, it has to. I think that's what they were going for too, but I just think the whole thing was a little ridiculous.
Something stopped him from being able to kill himself for a reason.
Maybe I think that's real spirit.
Yeah. So I think that's what they're going for. So, like, that's probably how they'll put it to bed.
Sure.
If I remember. So that is the end of the episode.
Okay.
Have you ever watched through the credits to, like, the Gur-Arg? Do you have any idea what I'm
saying? Never watched the credits at all. I'm sorry. I'm the worst.
No. It's fine. But like when you watch it on TV, like when you had watched it on TV, like so Joss Whedon's production company is called Mutant Enemy. And they made a very like you can Google it when I'm done. Just put like Mutant Enemy logo in like Google search. And it's basically this little like white monster that like it lives on a little stick and goes across the screen and yells, Grr, arg. And that's like the that's the thing. So Gur-Arg is like a whole like Buffy thing because that's the mutant enemies, like the sound that it makes. And actually I think Willow in one episode goes like Gur-Arg with something on her finger. So it's like a little nod to it.
That's cute.
But in this, so sometimes they change up the thing depending on the episode. So in this episode, the little monster or the vampire, I mean, has a little Christmas hat on.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah. Nice.
Okay.
So there's a few things that they change a couple, like every once in a while for like a special episode. Okay. Yeah. So my favorite quote was strong as Buffy's at the sunrise scene when Buffy's trying to convince Angel. She says, strong as fighting. It's hard and painful and it's every day, but it's what we have to do. And there's more to it, but I stopped it there. Yep. I like that. And I think that sunrise scene was my favorite, or lack of sunrise, because Sarah Michelle Gellar was just so good.
I will give you that. She was really good in that scene.
In these like high emotional, tense, high stakes scenes, she's just like completely believable.
Mm-hmm.
100% believable.
Yeah.
And David Boreanaz didn't do bad. He did pretty good.
I thought he was pretty good too, actually. The best acting. He was pretty good through the whole episode, to be honest. Yeah,
this is the best acting we've seen out of
him. Especially what he was given to work with, this weird ass script.
Yeah, I think he was like, did not disappoint. I mean, he didn't hold a candle to Sarah Michelle Gellar, but obviously. Most people can on this show.
Yeah.
So yeah, she was just amazing in that scene. Her acting alone was like made it my favorite scene.
Okay. All right. Okay. Wait, did you say your steak ready?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay, wait. So, okay. Usually so my favorite line is, I had a tie.
Ooh, okay.
Okay. The first one was, nothing like a roaring fire to keep away the blistering heat. And then the second one I already mentioned during the episode, but all right, I get it. You're evil. We have to chat about it all day.
That's a good one.
Well, that was pretty funny. And then actually my favorite scene was when Angel goes to Giles' house because it just made me laugh so much.
That was a good one too. Yeah. That would have probably been my runner. I think that might have been my runner up.
Okay.
It was so good.
Yeah.
Giles got the shock of his life. Okay, so my steak rating was a 4.5.
Jesus, okay. Sorry.
Probably high for you. Probably high. I guess I, again, like every episode, I'm viewing it through the lens of the entire series.
I appreciate
that. So there's a lot
that.
Of, like, seeds okay. planted in this episode that will not bloom for many episode.
I also find that annoying. But,
but it's contained. It's self-contained in this episode. So it's not like you're sure. waiting for it. You're only waiting for it because I told you it was going to happen.
I'm not waiting for it because I still find it annoying.
Yeah, but like you wouldn't like be waiting. You wouldn't be like no. expecting.
It's more. Not like a to be continued or a cliffhanger or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. So because I have the more context of this episode, I give it a little bit of a higher score probably.
Okay.
The snow / the sun was just like kind of weak. Like I just wish they had come up with a little bit more something or other.
Mm.
Like I don't know. I can't like give a like answer to what I would have done, like what would have fixed it. But I just feel like the heavy-handed like heat throughout the entire episode, like over and over and over how hot it is, and then all of a sudden it's in the 30s. Like and literally the sun is not coming. The sun like does not rise, like does not rise. Like even if it's a blizzard, mm-hmm. the sun still comes out.
Yep, it like, does.
Even if it's, like, very extremely muted by clouds. It's not pitch black all day long. Yeah, unless they're, like, in Alaska or Antarctica or somewhere where, like, you have, like, the 24 hours of night or something. Yeah. Or daylight or whatever. That's not happening in California. Okay, nope. So I just was like... I feel like maybe if they had made it snow and it was such a heavy thing that, like, it was so muted enough where Angel wasn't affected by the sun.
That's fair. But that would have been,
like, maybe it happens. You're like, oh, shit, it's happening. But then, like, it doesn't happen to him because it's too thick.
Yeah.
Like, nature sunscreen for him. I don't know. That would have been interesting. But, like, the pitch blackness, I just thought was that's just too much for me. Mm. So that was, like, my big thing I just didn't like. I like that we saw Jenny again, even though it wasn't really Jenny.
Yeah, it wasn't Jenny.
Got a little bit of...
This Jenny sucked.
Yeah, but we had to see her anyway.
Yeah.
I like the... I didn't like it, but it was interesting to get Angel's... More of Angel's backstory. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Because we really needed to build the guilt on him. So we had to introduce a few more victims of Angelus. And I'm just happy Oz and Willow are back together.
Yeah.
So that was
yeah.
a highlight for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I give it a 4.5 with hindsight of the whole show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, without hindsight of the whole show, I gave it a 3.9.
Okay.
Because I felt like it was just out of place. It felt like a filler episode. The whole Willow and Oz thing, getting back to it, that was actually really great. I did like that. So I appreciate that aspect of it. I also did like seeing Jenny. I'll give you that. I feel like Giles got... a slight character development in this episode just because like it was funny when he saw Angel and I just really liked that scene. But yeah, other than that, I felt like it wasn't that strong of an episode.
Yeah. And also we didn't mention, but I know we would have if we had thought about it, like Faith seemingly coming back into the fold. We'll see.
Oh yeah, yeah. I did like that too. I know. I would like to see either more of her or not. I don't like this whole like she's there sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Either she's like more in the plot or just go away.
I like more resolution or like more. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the word. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with Faith. Like she's at least in this episode. Okay. So the next episode is called Gingerbread.
Gingerbread. Okay. So what's my question?
An animal makes an appearance in this episode. What kind of animal is it?
Gingerbread's not an animal.
There's no clue in the title.
An animal appearance. God, I mean, okay. So, like, if we think about this, we've had a lot of animal appearances already. It could be like a demon animal, or it could be like a real animal. Like, is somebody going to get a pet?
Okay, I will narrow it down for you.
Thank you.
It's a regular animal.
Okay, not a demon animal.
Got it's not it. A demon animal. Like, it's a normal, non-demonic animal. Do I want to give you any other clues?
Yeah, you do.
Could be a pet.
Guess I'll just go with boring dog.
Okay.
Yep, going with dog. I don't know.
Okay.
Hopefully this doesn't get eaten like the pig did.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, okay. We had a pig. We've had
some animals.
I can't think of anything.
We've had another one.
Oh, the dead cat. The cat, undead cat. Oh,
Jesus, right, yeah.
What else have we had?
Anyway, okay, dog. Yeah.
Let us know if you remember. But we've already seen an animal we've already seen. Now I'll text you when I think of one as soon as we hang up. Yeah. As soon as we end this episode, I'll be like, yes, this one, and this one. Hyena?
Yeah. I mean,
they were not real animals, but they were supposed to be real animals.
It's like, I feel like we could do that with so many other animals then too, though.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Anyway. All right. So that wraps up Season 3, Episode 10, Amends. Again, you can find us on all major podcast apps and YouTube and Instagram at One Girl in All the World Pod. You can email us at onegirlpod@gmail.com. Thanks for joining us, and we'll be back next week with Season 3, Episode 11, Gingerbread. Puts us halfway through the Season 3. See you real soon.
Bye.
Bye.